Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers. Welcome to The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Professor Joseph Giglia from the Faculty of Engineering. Now, your Department of Industrial, Electrical and Power Conversion, what does that mean?
Well, as the name suggests, it's industrial, so it has to do with industrial requirements. Power conversion, which means the conversion of power. For example, if we are talking on cars or boats, you convert electrical power, which is stored in the battery, into mechanical power to drive the car.
Right.
So this is power conversion. We do all types of conversion, even from electrical to electrical, electrical to mechanical.
Okay. Yeah? So what sort of things are you working on here at the university? What power are you converting?
Yes, we have different fields. I can talk a little bit about what I am doing together with some of my colleagues. Basically, the conversion is from battery power to electrical propulsion.
Right.
You can drive a car, you can drive a motorbike like that, and you can drive a boat. So the research that we are doing is optimizing this energy transfer from the chemical storage, which is the battery, to the to motive power applications, such as boats and cars. Obviously, assisted by new technologies such as fuel cells, solar energy, and even charging from the grid, because you have to replenish the power that you use in the propulsion.
So you're having to charge the batteries to then drive an electric car or an electric boat?
Yes, yes. Okay. Usually you charge, it can be solar charged, can be charged from a fuel cell. In this case, we use also on the boat a fuel cell.
What's a fuel cell?
Fuel cell is a type of energy conversion from a fuel, as it says, to electrical energy. Fuel cells are powered usually by hydrogen, but there are also a number of cases where we power them from fuels like methanol, or even it can be powered from LPG. But then you have to have a converter, because each time you have to convert then any liquid fuel or any gas into hydrogen for the recombination then, which delivers electrical energy to the batteries or usually fuel cells are not good to propel directly the engines, so because although they can transform energy, but they are not very good at supporting high currents,
so
that is they are very good to replenish the energy taken from a battery, so to support the battery rather than drive directly.
So you talk about solar power cars, potentially solar power boats though is something you are working on here. That sounds fascinating.
Yes. Well, solar power boats, one cannot say it's solar powered, it's solar assisted, because the space available on a boat is not enough to power the boat all the time.
Right, I see.
But the solar can assist the battery in its operation. For example, the boat that we are developing at the moment is for a trip around Malta, which is about 75 kilometers in one day. But obviously the batteries you have to start with the batteries fully charged, because the battery autonomy is enough to take you 8 hours, and then you need more energy to do the whole trip. So that is where the solar comes in. So while you are obviously driving the boat, you have solar energy assisting you and filling up the batteries for you to be able to cover the whole distance.
So does that mean as well that, because when there's no wind, you'll still be able to move?
Yes, sure. I mean, in fact, some obviously have discussed this. Why don't you use the wind? Okay, this is another option of driving a boat via solar power. Obviously, without the wind, it's in a way a bit better, because the wind tends to create a drag. So if it is very calm, see, this boat, and there is no wind, this boat is ideal. Although in the design of the roof, we were very the roof of the boat, which contains the solar panels, we were very careful in its design, so that it actually, if there is wind, it actually helps you lifting a little bit the boat rather than creating a drag force.
Okay.
In fact, the shape of the roof is in the same shape as a wing of an aeroplane. the front part is the shape of the wheel, to help you lift up. In fact, we came with this idea because we had our an experience going on the solar planet when it came to Malta, and actually I asked, does the wind hinder you? Mm-hmm. And they said, no, actually it helps us because it tends to lift. If it lifts the boat, then it's obviously helping you rather than hindering you in the movement.
The power that you're generating, it's not just for the movement of the boat. Can you operate things like, you know, the fridge for the beer?
Yeah, sure.
Everything else.
It all depends. We have two, for example, in this solar catamaran, our latest development, which is the third development in this area of electric propulsion for our seas. We have two hulls, and in each hull there is a battery. Yeah, okay. So two battery sets and one propeller, but obviously you can power a lot of things. Obviously, you have to monitor the state of charge of the battery, which we do. You can do it even the technology we are using. You can also monitor the battery from your mobile. So even if you are not on the catamaran and you are going to go for a ride, you know before you go what is the state of charge of your batteries.
That's very cool.
Now, if you just cross from one side, for example, Malta is ideal because we have short distances from Birgu to the Valletta waterfront, and you want to have a cool beer in the middle of the harbour. That is possible. Yeah, I mean, the energy required to cool a bottle of beer, or even have something to eat, warm it up, or anything like that. There is enough energy because each battery is 2 kilowatt hour. So if you have four full batteries, what we are going to have on this boat, then you have 8 kilowatt hours, which is a lot of energy.
So did you design the boat as a multi-hull because of the battery storage, or because of the economics, for want of a better word, or ergonomics, I suppose, of it going through the water?
In the research, we are actually, it's not only myself. There is also, for example, Dr. DeMarco, who is obviously the expert in this area. And the idea is that the catamaran obviously has less drag than other boats, plus a lot of stability. So the idea was to develop this catamaran so that it runs smoothly on the sea, is very stable, mm-hmm. and obviously is one of the most efficient way to travel on water, because that's why we have also, for example, catamarans now crossing the harbour regularly. They are very efficient to operate.
Will we see one day the catamaran that goes to Sicily covered in solar panels? And
it is possible. Oh, the solar planet covers the world, as far as I know.
That's an hour and a half.
The solar planet, I think, did the whole trip around the world.
I believe so, yes, actually.
So it's not a problem.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Even on a cloudy day.
Exactly. It's the speed, which is obviously sometimes limiting, depending what speed you want to reach, because as soon as you try to accelerate very much, then the drag increases in any boat. So that's why we see a lot of boats with huge engines, because of the speed they want to go at. But the design, what we did is 5 knots, which is around 8.5 kilometers per hour, which is very nice cruising speed around our harbor. So it depends for what you develop or design the boat.
So you're saying this is the third one. What was the first boat you developed? What has changed?
The first boat was now way back in 2002.
Okay.
So it was the very first boat. We did a very simple boat where we used an L drive from a normal outboard, so the propulsion from it, but we fitted an electric motor, and we had quite interesting results, and then that encouraged us, especially for Malta. It is very nice to have a peaceful environment when you go in the middle of the sea, and since we don't have too much distances, we saw that it can fit in and it can work. Then the second boat was actually developed and designed for the Blue Grotto trip, which is a normal Maltese Lutsu, that is usually used to take tourists into these caves. And the development was to make it as efficient as possible, and also that it will become cost effective. And we managed all that. In fact, in 2006, we took one of the best paper awards in an international conference. So we reached our dam. Obviously, it's not so easy to convince the public that they have to switch, because there is some technology that needs to be transferred. In fact, we are working very closely with the Knowledge Transfer Office of the University of Malta in order to try to see somebody who takes a whole possibility, starts a whole operation with a fleet of electric boats, not just one, because the economy of scale makes it not so easy to transfer just one or two.
And there are so many of these boat companies now.
Exactly. And like electric cars, so they have to come in. They solve a lot of problems in terms of environment. And I think if you go on a small boat trip around the harbor or the Blue Grotto, one of the annoying things is the smell of the exhaust.
Absolutely.
That you have to breathe all the time. While with this boat, obviously, first of all, it's very peaceful. It actually has also a sound system that can be programmed also for a documentary, depending what is the position of the boat, where is the boat.
Okay.
So basically you hear a little bit about, for example, the history
of
the
fantastic
area you are. Okay. It's possible. So when you experience it, it's a totally different experience, from a normal boat.
It's actually been much, much nicer than the blaring music you get from the boats that go around the islands today.
So. You can have anything, actually. It communicates with your Bluetooth on the mobile, so as long as you have music on the mobile, you can suit yourself with any type of music you like to hear. So,
and of course, when you get out of the boat to swim, you won't see the fuel sitting on the surface.
No. That's supposed not to be even with a normal, but it happens, you know. So no, there is nothing of that, and it's a very clean, very noise, because the noise pollution is also an issue. Mm-hmm. When you are driving a boat, obviously you have some related noise, associated noise, and that is totally eliminated. So one has to experience it. Hopefully we have it in the sea, and we are also thinking of using it, for example, there is some interest for the new science museum.
Ah, the Explorer down
Explorer,
in Calcutta.
Yes. So they showed interest already. That would be interesting because it is using a lot of technologies. So this is all science, and engineering put
together.
Would
that be a shuttle from Valletta too?
It is a possibility. We need now to test it. We did already some tests, and they look very interesting. However, you have then to certify it before you can use it for commercial use. Yeah. So you have to certify it. You have to insure it. So all that is still in the process.
So this is still quite a costly exercise, or is it cheaper to convert a boat, or is it cheaper to?
It's not easy. For example, when we converted the Lutsu, we found out that the normal Lutsu does not pass the CE certification, so we had to go through all the tests. But we managed to find a very easy way to bring the boat to certification.
Okay.
There are ways and means today that you can do this. Obviously, the second boat was certified, the Lutsu. So from that experience, I think it shouldn't be too expensive, and should not be a lot of work, because we designed, obviously, the third boat based on the certification requirements.
So would the Lutsu not be rather heavy to be able to move, or that's just something technical that the engine deals with?
We can design, and that is our expertise now in the department. We can design a drive for anything, really. Obviously, it depends on the specification. The shape of the boat is affecting very much the drag at different speeds. So it depends what speed you want to reach. For example, the Lutsu takes the same amount of power, requires the same amount of power that the catamaran is, but the catamaran is much larger. The difference is basically the drag that the boat offers. They are both about 1 ton of weight in terms
wow.
of weight, but obviously one has a higher drag than the other, especially if you try to exceed the 8 knots.
And so this boat 3, has she got a name?
Actually, we gave it already a number of names, but it depends to whom you want to sell it. we are generally saying Solar Catamaran, but we developed it also for research at the university. So I also call it a floating lab, because it has solar, it has batteries, it has a fuel cell, it has inverters. You can sell energy if it is parked, and there is a lot of solar power that you don't need to fill the batteries. So it also can smart charge.
What does smart charge mean?
Smart charging means that, say you have you invested in such a solar boat with a lot of solar panels. Solar panels cost money, and obviously you have the batteries on board. But if you are not using the boat, the batteries will be full in a few hours, especially in our sunny island. Yeah. So what do you do with the rest of the energy? Because otherwise the panels will be idle, not being used for anything really. So once the battery is full, you can actually command, even from your mobile, that the extra energy can be sold.
So you're sort of trading sunshine, essentially.
Yes, yes. The idea is that in the future, even if the tariff varies, for example, if the tariff in the night is very low, you can actually use smart charging to fill in the batteries because the tariff is low. Okay. For example, in America, there are cases where the peak tariff is $1 or $2 per kilowatt hour. Yeah, this is compared to, for example, in Malta, which is 12 euro cents at the moment. But in the evening, it can be very low. So at that point, you can, and this is smart charging, you can fill in the batteries and then discharge them into the grid when the tariff is much higher. This is smart charging. But obviously, the infrastructure has to take that. So you have to have different tariffs at different times of the day. Then this is possible as well with this catamaran. So it employs all the technologies you can imagine in order to operate the battery solar in the most efficient way.
Because this, you know, the panels are out there, they're working.
They're working. If there is light on them, it's up to you not to take, I mean, to take all the energy that they generate. But for this, you need to have the technology that can do this.
To transfer it back into the
Exactly.
grid. Could you have more batteries than the two on the boat, or does that then affect performance? Was that something you're working on now?
This is a very good question. The batteries, actually, there is a lot of technologies that we investigated. We started, obviously, with the lead acid, but now we are into lithium. Lithium is quite interesting. In fact, the first tests of the boat were comparing one hull lithium and one hull lead acid. Okay. So the students could do a comparison between the two technologies. Obviously, the lithium, in terms of weight and capacity, is there is a big gap. In fact, the latest technology we are using, you can drive this one-ton boat for 2 hours with a 20-kilo battery pack. So basically, this you can handle, you can put it in the back of your car, you go there and you drive the catamaran for 2 hours. The catamaran at the moment can take four packs. We designed it to take four packs, two in each hull. Mm-hmm. That means that without any sun, you have an autonomy of 8 hours drive. Driving the catamaran.
Which is, like you said, all the way around.
Exactly. But then there is the fuel cell assisting, so range is not an issue, especially if it's a sunny day.
Actually, it's the same distance to Sicily, so you could actually
Yes.
go to Sicily
we
for nothing, essentially.
Yes. But we like Malta, we like the cliffs, so the first what we will do is go around a trip in Malta. Obviously, the speed going around Malta is one thing. Crossing between Malta and Sicily is another thing. So there are conditions where you need some speed. So since we are limited with 5 knots, I think crossing it has to be really a calm day. So
I think some sailing racers would be happy with 5 knots days.
We might sail, and then we have also we can use also the wind. Yeah, so we'll see.
So you're saying you're doing some other research, just randomly. Are you doing research to see the effect of no noise on marine life? Is that part of it? Is that something another part of the university might look at?
Well, I like fishing, and I want to experiment if you are fishing while driving the boat, whether this has any advantage. But, I mean, that is something very interesting to analyze, but we have not gone into that.
So
however, the propeller runs at very low speeds. The motor runs at around 10,000 RPM, the small electric motor. However, the propeller runs at 1,000 because there is a gearbox in between. Okay. So, but it is very quiet and silent. It even, the design of the propeller we are using, it even does not do any cavitation. So those bubbles, those turbulence that you see in the sea normally are not existing with the speed and propeller we are using.
So how small could this boat be? Actually, how small, what size actually is the boat that you're working on? How many people could fit on
at the moment? The one that we have is eight-seater.
Okay.
Eight-seater. Because the design was actually made for six, but we can see that we can take eight.
Eight people.
I mean, the size is not an issue. We can, obviously, the bigger it is. For example, the problem we have with the catamaran that we need even the assistance of police now because it's 3 meter wide and 5 meter long. So to put it to the sea, it's not so easy, especially if you have the ring road packed with cars because you cannot get it out of the ring road if there are any car there. So because it's quite wide. You can leave it in the sea, no problem, once you put it. In fact, that's what we will be looking for. Somebody who wants to make use of it and make some commercial use of this boat. And I'm sure that tourists will be, especially those who are very environmental conscious, will be very much attracted to such a boat.
Should talk to the Malta Tourism Authority.
Actually, the Malta Tourism Authority had supported, the second boat was supported by the Malta, because the Blue Grotto project was actually in the interest of also Malta Tourism at that time.
Basically, I just imagine they do a lot with hotels to be more eco-friendly, so maybe eco-friendly ways.
I think everybody likes it. But obviously, like electric cars, it's not so easy to get into real life unless there is an infrastructure supporting it and people trained to cope with the technology. It's different than normal boats. But I think if you experience it, then you want to forget about the internal combustion engine. And that some say that the internal combustion engine, because of the emissions, mm-hmm. will one point in time, I think 2025 or 30, have to be phased out, because the amount of cars we have in our on our roads and the pollution created is basically not sustainable. So we have to move towards that. Electrification of our transport means is very important, both for air pollution and noise pollution. Noise in some cases is even worse than air pollution.
Yeah, the noise when you're at sea, you want to hear the sea, you don't want to hear...
Mm-hmm. But even with cars, I mean, on our roads, there are some places, even in Malta, where noise pollution is above what is acceptable.
Are you working on cars and buses and things as well, any public transport to put solar panels on the top? Mm-hmm. I've always wondered why our buses...
Well, I was involved with the bringing the first electric cars way back in 2002. So mm-hmm. we put the first cars on the road. And since then, we never stopped really in our research. Obviously, today we see now much more advanced electric cars. And it looks that people are going for them. Obviously, this takes time, because as I said, one has to make sure that you can support this technology. But once you drive an electric car, especially in Malta, you don't want to hear anything about other cars, because even in terms of performance, at some point the cars were electric cars were criticized because of performance. Now the best performance car today is an electric. Yeah, if anybody drives like I did, the Tesla will be impressed.
I'd love one of those.
I tell you, you will be impressed with the type of acceleration you can get. Obviously, this is only a dream for Malta, because although you can accelerate, you have
nowhere to go. But no, it's a shame actually, because until the Tesla, I think most electronic cars were actually quite ugly. So the performance is one thing, but you don't actually want to be seen in one, because they're like the sort of Pope mobile. You wanted to be in a pretty car that also is doing good, and I couldn't understand why the two couldn't be combined.
The problem is obviously all cars, yeah, have a huge investment behind them. In fact, the cars run most of the, they are the backbone, I think, of most economies. You touch the car business and you have problems, because it's a big, huge business around the world.
Think of public transport, especially somewhere like Malta, where the distances are quite small and we have lots of, you know, airport to hotel, buses.
They are ideal, and the range is not an issue now anymore. The what Tesla did actually is very interesting, and now even other cars followed, because the problem with an electric car is that the battery costs money, because you are carrying the energy storage with you.
Okay.
Now, the cost of the battery and the engine, electrical engine, together with the complete car, for a small car, makes it much more expensive than a normal car. But when you go to the high-end performance car, where an engine, internal combustion engine for a Mercedes or a Ferrari, costs €50,000, yeah, there the combination of the battery and the motor, and because the electric motor, as you go up with power, does not increase inversely proportional with the size.
Okay.
Therefore, what happens is, as you go in the size of power of the car, with mm-hmm. the size of power of the car, the internal combustion engine becomes similar to the cost of the battery and the motor.
Okay.
And that's what Tesla did. So you buy a high-performance car in the range of €80,000 to €90,000, whether it's internal combustion or it's a Tesla, it's the same price. But the success of the Tesla was then that the performance is even better.
And they're beautiful.
And they are very nice, yes. I drove one and I was impressed.
So are you going to be working towards maybe version 4 of the boat, you know, being the Tesla version, a bit speedier, a bit sexier, something that will be able to go into production that people will...
At the moment, high speed is very interesting, and if we have somebody interested, we go for it. But, for example, like these jet skis, because they hire them for maybe 15-20 minutes, mm-hmm. and that is possible with electric. But I think more interesting for Malta will be hybridization, that if you have a boat and then you use it electric inside our harbors, but you want to go to Sicily with peace of mind that you have some backup, then putting a turbo charger, this is, I think, our next step in research, mm-hmm. so that you can be assisted with fuel if need be. That is, I think, more interesting than going for high speed. High speed is very costly, like the Tesla. You get speed, but you have to pay $100,000 for that. Yeah. But on the other hand, hybridization of the system is quite interesting because, and it might be also affordable.
As I was just thinking, because you know, when you're out on the water, there are lots and lots of these sort of smaller boats that whiz past, and there's, you know, 100 of them to one of us regular slow boats. So I'm just wondering if that's where the market is for the young fast market or the older sedate.
I don't think it's easy to match that, because the amount of fuel they consume, if you ask them, I mean, they go for a day trip or ride, but consume so much energy that really, because with high speed you have the limitation. It's not like you are not on wheels in the boat. Yes, you have to plane it, and to plane it, it has to be light. And then you need a lot of energy to plane it, to go, for example, even 10 kilometers. So that is a huge challenge for electric boats. I don't think that we are there yet.
No, it would be nice just to have a, you know, quieter boats going past.
It is possible. Nothing is impossible, because there are competitions where you re-speed, but I don't think it's financially possible to sell those type of boats,
right, okay.
just for... Because the battery itself will cost you a lot of money, and you have, if you are not using it on a daily basis, it's stored in a garage, and that's does not make financial sense.
So what we need is somebody out there with a marina to sort of help you with putting some charging points, so you can keep
charging
the boat in the water.
Charging points we don't need, because
or a decharging point.
Every marina is today equipped with electrical supply. We use the normal 240 volt single phase, basically. To activate the smart charging, you need much more than that, because then you have to have an agreement, because this is a power purchase agreement, and you can buy and sell like we do it at home now with the solar panels. But that has to be taken as well if it is accepted in the marinas as well. And the two tariff system makes a lot of sense, because this is also being such a for cars, because once you have a car in the garage or parked at the place of work, you can make use, if there is a two tariff, of smart charging as well.
Okay.
Because if the tariff, for example, in Malta, I mean, the peak is during midday. So, but sometimes, this is in summer, but in summer, today we have a lot of solar, so it's not a big concern anymore. But in winter, you have a peak in the evening. If you have your car parked in your garage and you want to assist the energy during that time, if the tariff allows that, then you use also the battery to help the grid. Mm-hmm. And then while you are sleeping, when everybody switches off, you charge your battery. So this is the technology that is being researched at the moment, which is referred to as smart charging with smart algorithms.
Excellent. So we want government, marinas, tourism operators to listen up and help us with getting electric boats on the water.
We can do it. We can say that at the University of Malta we have expertise. We can do it. They just have to come to us, and we sit with them and see what are their specifications, and we deliver.
Fantastic. So everyone listening, Professor Joseph Giglia from the Faculty of Engineering, come and help us get these electric boats on the water. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of The Probe. You've been listening to me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, Professor Joseph Giglia from the Faculty of Engineering.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.